Okay, so tonight, ladies and gents, I'm your host Sully, and I am here with Gio from Sci-Fi Remnant. Welcome.
Hello, good. Thank you for having me, man.
We are talking about the one, the only, a electronic English group, Massive Attack. Yeah. Came out at the genesis point of the trip-hop movement. They originated their hypnotic sound, which is darkly sensual and cinematic fusion of hip-hop rhythms, soulful melodies, dub grooves, and choice of samples. All music, you summed it up perfectly.
Yep.
They were coming out, you know, everyone in America is trying to be like Crystal Method. Everyone else in the UK is trying to be like the Chemical Brothers. Everyone else in, you know, Europe's trying to be like the Prodigy. And
yeah,
this is this other UK band that's, you know, I thought they were Aussies, but no, I had it wrong. They're
kind of psychedelic too, wouldn't you say?
And pretty psychedelic, yeah. And
because it's very like absorbing the music of they do, like the soundtracks. They sound like from Matrix, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's just about every other, like you said before, you know, like Teardrop was used in every other TV show theme, like House, and then Angel. I mean, I saw that in a Harrison Ford movie and a bunch of other just films where you're just like, whoa, hey.
Yep. Dissolving Gear, I think it is the name. There's a lot of like good hits that they have, man.
Oh, totally. Circus.
I mean, I could go on and on, man. Like, one, I have a very eclectic taste, and like, there are very few bands that I will like almost everything on an album, and they are one of those.
Even their logo changes, you know, album to album. It's a like a sign, but then they recrystallize it or add something new. And like you say, it consists of the Cocteau twins, and as well as a newcomer, Sarah J. And I forgot that they had done remixes for Garbage around the same time that they first started touring. And they worked with Madonna on a Marvin Gaye tribute album. And yep. Once they promoted their EP Risington during the summer of 97 at the annual Glastonbury Music Festival, that's when they started, basically the phone started ringing. And like you say, they just, every 5 years we just come out with some new electronic album. And their movie scoring name was 100 Suns. That was the brand they used, and they keep doing just continual just remixes and everything, and
new achievements, I guess, and creations too.
Just very achievement. I would even see people do various montages of them with various movies and music. They love their melodies. They love their, again, the acoustics, and just the voices are just very haunting. And
yeah. And it's not like they're giving you only music. They're giving you an experience. That's what it feels like when I'm listening to them, you know, like Enigma back then in the times, you know, like this is music that is like, it takes you away.
Totally. Now,
that's why I like it so much.
Have you seen their last album they did during COVID-19, Utopia?
No, I was watching one that they recorded with Nicki Minaj. It was strange, different from what they usually come up with.
Yeah, that was probably I missed that one, but they're listed here as working with Young Fathers, Saul Williams, Algiers, and a bunch of other just people who are known for their vocals. And they,
oh yeah,
they just wanted to pair them with a video counterpart so that the visuals could emphasize their political nature in theme in the song. But like you say, it's interesting how they strike this mood. And you just can't look away. It's almost like, well, whatever visual accompanies it, it will totally work.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you see it on the line of work that they do. They do good quality videos most of the time. Like, I grew up as an MTV kid, so like my music would come from VH1 and MTV Tops. And I mean, like music video stopped coming like that in like mid 2005, more or less. And I stopped completely watching music videos. And these guys, musicians like them, are the reason that I still go and find a music video on YouTube. If not, like, I never watch it.
Oh, totally. Do you think they've been hard to market because of the political stuff they're inferring?
Oh, most likely. Most likely. Okay, I do agree.
Because I can't think of any other reason why they're not as big as some of these other electronic ones. So, I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I mean, they can call it conspiracy or whatever, but like, if media is controlling one way or another, one media is going to try to show it, like, not bring it up, you know, if it goes against what they believe in any kind of way or inflicts them in whatever kind of agenda they might have, you know. But that doesn't stop them from actually using the voice that they have to express themselves or the group they represent either, which is nice. They see probably a potential too, that they are also a social tool.
Yeah. Are they big on social media? I haven't really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they've been for decades now. To me, what I've learned and seen of them, they are kind of like a milestone in electronic music too. So people like them very much, and they always have like big jobs, big name jobs because of that too. If you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Have some of the other groups, members, including Robert Del Naja and Grant Marshall, Andrew Viles and Sharon Nelson and Tracy Thorn, gone on to do anything else?
Outside of the group?
Yeah.
I might not be able to tell you that. To be honest with, like, I haven't known like any other projects they have from this specific band. No, I always go back to them. I know that they work with things like Secret of Soleil too, on albums. So yeah, it's like the array of things that they do and how he adapts different types of media or entertainments. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, it's something masterful.
Nice.
Yep.
Hey. Temporarily shortened their name to just Massive because they were afraid of getting controversy because they were speaking out against the UN's support of the rock of the Gulf War. And then they changed it back when their next single, Safe from Harm. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's nice because it means that they stand by what they said before. And one of the things that I like the most about everything in life is consistency. And you can see that with them, you know?
Yeah,
they're consistent in what where they stand, and they keep on like showing like they have nothing but good stuff to bring to. So they have a good way to deliver their message too.
And totally, they're very popular in Denmark, Dutchlands, and as well as just again a lot of UK independent awards. Poland, they were honored 100th Window. And their self-titled, you know, album made them actually it was just 100 Window that made them the top electronic album in 03. So
and I mean, I think that they've been actually producing music since early 90s, maybe
yeah,
before
93 94. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they've been a while working on there.
Do you think, what do you think they got next in store?
To be honest, like the last video I saw them, I was like, okay. Like I'm not going to criticize them negatively, but like, I felt like they tried to fit in more into something trendy with the musical arrangement of the video. It was not, to me, did not represent what they are. They are always something new, something eccentric. I mean, it's not the same thing, but just how different as how, what's it called, this girl from ABBA? Björk. When you see Björk, Björk, she's going to surprise you, you know? She's going to bring something that, you know, nobody else does. And that's what that's the feeling I always get from them. But with this last video, like, I was like, oh, okay. It was not that, like always, but that's what I always expect from them, is something like something shocking, something that is going to drag the people's attention in all kinds of way. And the music, just like you said at the beginning, it's very like the sounds are very seductive, you know?
Yeah, they definitely.
Mm-hmm. But that's my expectation from them anytime that I see something new coming from them.
it seems like a lot of them basically just I mean, that's why they came from the partying DJ group, the Wild Bunch. They are just that.
And I mean, there's other bands. I mean, I don't know if you heard of, for example, Tool. That's one of the few bands that I like everything. From Tool, I like the other two bands that Young Miners had. Pussyfree is actually kind of like Massive Attack. Like they do kind of like psychedelic music. And then you have a Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
And you have a Perfect Circle too that does kind of same music like Tool, but a little bit different too.
Yeah.
I like Perfect
Circle. That was a cool contrast to how they kind of started off as kind of a side project and then got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode, we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
No, you can tell without how much of a good musician they are. I think that maybe, I don't know, I'm actually going to go and do homework now to see like what else they have done. But I feel like they have such a good product that whenever they keep on working on it, they don't need to change the formula because they're always bringing something new with the formula they have. So, I'm hoping the next video that comes out, it's something that goes back to like, something surprising, not something trendy. That's why it stands out, really, the authenticity too behind it.
Oh, totally. And to your point earlier, they, in addition to all their movie stuff, they apparently did Don Naja, one of the main guys, worked with Tom York of Radiohead at an unofficial Occupy movement in London at around 2011. And they have declined playing in Israel recently, but they like you say, they can't be contained, and music's like their only kind of rallying cry.
Yeah, and that's how they get the message to the people. And doing it like it's like those jokes about like making a nice music video for the kids to learn their lesson, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of putting them to just read on a book. And the same thing is like if they deliver a message, so like Rage Against the Machine would do, you know, deliver a message that sticks in, you're gonna have people thinking about it, you know.
I can't imagine anyone isn't gonna utilize one of them at some point for some, you know, duet or co-editing or remixing. They also just seem like very just legit, like, without trying to even be, you know, violently protesting, they, you know, in which case it's now become a riot. But yeah, it seems like that they don't want to have an out of control message, and they also just want to, like, they want to make sure it's fine tuned. It's a beautiful song about a dangerous subject. I like how environmentally they donated their income from a Lincoln car commercial to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill campaign. So it was back in 2010. I think that's cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean,
any other group would have been like, oh, that's terrible. You know, I'm still going to buy a mansion. You know?
No, but I mean, that's a nice thing. I mean, that's what most people say. Like, that's what I'm going to do when I make it up there. But not all of them do, you know? So to see that these kind of groups do that tells you, like, not everybody that makes it up there forget their roots, you know? And they remember to give back in one way or another. And that's nice because, I mean,
it's rare.
I don't even like K-pop and culture, you know, that they're crazy with the groups, the image that they had to actually project for the fans. And these guys do the same thing with that because they lead by example. So when they do something, they're showing that their followers and people that like their music too.
They're not pretending to be anything that they're not. They're not saying, hey, well, I'm going to probably lose my fan base or half my fan base. It's like, no, screw you.
Be
you.
They're willing to do that. They're willing to sacrifice that chance to have a bigger or smaller fan base to continue to deliver what they believe in. So they're not betraying their own values.
Nothing's been compromised. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's very noble.
If you compromise them, then they just won't play. It's as simple as that. For those who want to know more about them, they have a book. I have not read it, but it looks like a nice one. It's called Out of the Comfort Zone. That was published in 2019. So if you want any trivia or want to know more about them, that's probably a place to look.
I'm definitely going to check it out. Nice.
There's so much stuff under the radar.
What was the first time that you heard of this band?
Probably, I want to say definitely by 2012 in college. 09 to 2012, that's definitely when I knew about them. Nice. So I knew about them probably 5 years after they were getting big in 03. Just because, again, they were just much like all these other electronic groups. I loved that kind of music, and they were just like the first ones that came up, even though a lot of their music wasn't necessarily played on MTV, or if you only had the special features to, say, a movie they had worked on, you weren't really going to know about them unless you were the YouTube generation. And of course, everyone was slowly becoming that. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, by my time, like, I didn't have internet. So I would have to go to Cyber Cafe and, like, download things on Kazaa or LimeWire and then burn 3 MP3 CDs and stuff like that because I didn't have internet. So that's how I got to see my music, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, man. Any other just like closing nature with this post-rave group? I think they kind of just wrote themselves, but it's definitely just like you say, interesting to see a rare mixture of people, like you say, acknowledging their existence, not feeling like they've sold out, and then talking about hard to talk about subject matter and making it entertaining without relying on the music charts to determine their, you know, eligibility as a group.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you think about it, that's why they have many songs that they still sound a lot, and they are more than 15 years old, you know, and they still sounding. I mean, it's not once or twice a month that I go back to listen to Teardrop, Dissolving Air, Circus, you know,
right?
And I mean, I know that just like me, there's a lot of people that have other songs that, I mean, everybody has a couple of songs that they like to revisit once in a while, and they play these and stuff like that. Like, I have them all on my Spotify or in my iTunes Music, and I'm always going back to them.
Hey,
yeah, man. I mean, just like songs, I think I have like 3,000 songs liked so far, and I mean, many of them, like, there's a at least 4 or 5 albums that I have almost complete from them. But I like that stuff, like the new, the unconventional, and that's the kind of music that they do too, you know?
Oh, man. I would love to see them at a convention. I would love to see them at just a live seminar where they talk about their career.
Oh, that would be awesome. And I mean, that's the other thing I was going to mention. Like, usually by the time that they came out, the musicians that were on the electronic music industry, they were like going to like raves and stuff like that. But these are guys more like, they do more like their own concerts, for example. They have actually private work with filmmaking companies and stuff like that. So it will be more rare to see them like you will see TS doing any other Ibiza concert, you know?
It would just be out of this world. It would be like traveling through space.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, they should do things like what other electronic music musicians have done, like working together with other voices that are actually known throughout many electronic music. Sarah McCallahan, Florence Welch, things like that, you know, that will put them also in the radar for new things. And I mean, all of these artists that do collaborations with electronic musicians singing, they are great, great at what they do too, you know? So it can add a lot to something new that they could come up with.
I mean, I can only imagine. I'm sure it would sell big wherever it is because they got just reasonable, just kind of word of mouth fare.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man.
And like you say, plenty of people have probably heard their tunes featured in just so many commercials, movies, and other soundtrack crossovers just because, you know, they're just being so utilized by so many of the same people listening to the same stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of those things that everybody knows the sound, but not everybody knows the name.
Yeah.
And I mean, that to me is like a person, like a musician that have, they did it, you know? If everybody knows your sound, they know you.
You've been there.
Yep. I mean, for where I grew up, man, like there was a lot of nice hits of electronic music and things like that that were going out, and I wouldn't know English. So I didn't know until 15 years after what was it, you know? And I still liked them.
I mean, I can only imagine that they probably, I mean, if they're this popular in this many countries, they have to, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably part of the formula in marketing. It's like, transcend the language. Don't be reliant on wherever you're based.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, this has been a delight. Care to promote anything that you got upcoming on Sci-Fi Remnant?
So we're going to see if we record this week a short anime. We're not sure yet which one to decide.
Akira.
But I mean, and you're more invited to come in and see if you want to suggest any. We have always conversation open in our Discord.
Anytime.
So like anybody, just check out our website, www.sciencefictionremnant.com, and they can listen to us or just go to Discord.
Please check them out, gang. They got a roster of sleeper hits to just forgotten treasures, and it's always animated and it's always fun and jolly. Yeah. Deep.
Yes. Very deep. And you're always welcome back, man. Whenever you want to.
Anytime. Join us back, let me know. Anytime. I will take you up on that.
Nice. You'll get to pick the movie, man.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It was a good choice.
Totally. And I'll make sure it's a movie you actually want to see first, you know, before we do it, you know. But nice. I don't want to ever force something on and everyone be like, "Damn you! I took your money on a Patreon." But the movie was god awful. What the hell?
No. That movie was good. It was very good. I was even making fun with Roro when we were watching him. I was like, "Man, that shit hit me in the guts. I was almost crying like a baby." He's like, "Good comedy too and good action." It was a good movie, man.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.